Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome in, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've already had to scrap some plans with the Sabres beginning training camp today. We were originally planning on talking to Mark Long of the AP about the Jacksonville Jaguars at 11 o'clock. We've scrapped that. We are planning on taking Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff live with the media following practice today. He's expected to speak around 10:45, could, though, push into the 11 o'clock hour. We will see on that, but we will be taking him live here as, of course, you've probably seen the news on Twitter, but if you have not, Josh, what, 5 minutes into practice?
Literally 5 minutes into
practice. Rasmus Dahlin, first guy out there, ultimately ends up leaving early. No one really knows what's going on, and then the Sabres did announce that he will not return to practice and that they will have more later on when Ruff does speak with the media. So, of course, we are going to be taking that live. Made a few jokes. Was hoping it was nothing. And now it's a little worrying. I mean, you're 5 minutes into camp. And that's not even the only thing that kind of caused some concern. Peyton Krebs hits Tage Thompson, and he's laboring. And you're
Well,
just like,
it sounds like that one was just kind of like a got the wind knocked out of you, welcome back to
sure,
practice kind of thing.
But you see the tweet, and you're like, we are 10 minutes in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, what happened? Where is this? Why does this happen? You know, and we don't know the extent of what's going on with Dahlin. We'll find out more from head coach Lindy Ruff in a little while after practice. But my vibes, honestly, were like through the roof. It hit me yesterday a little bit. And this morning when Adams was talking and then when Paul came on with Joe, and you can hear the background noise. You hear Lindy yelling in the background. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is great. Hockey's back. It feels so good. Like, we're here. And it's just immediately destroyed as soon as the Dahlin news comes out of him leaving practice. And then it was like, all right, well, hey, maybe, you know, maybe there was an equipment issue. Maybe he'll be back in a few minutes, whatever. 10, 15 minutes goes by, and it's like, well, he's not back yet. Where'd he go?
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously, our own Paul Hamilton tweeting out that he won't return to practice. That's not good news. It's not great, but you don't know the extent of it yet. So it's still a little up in the air. But fingers crossed, and have to wait and see.
It's the wait and see period now, which is awful.
Right.
I mean, because it could be something where he's just going to be day-to-day. You know, tweak something. He's day-to-day.
Yeah.
We'll maybe hold him back to going to Europe or what have you.
Listen, though, I this is where we talk about this. This comes up every year around this time. Football injury reports are so good because you get down to the minute detail of what is happening and how long they will be out or expected to be out. In hockey, you get upper body or lower body.
They're very vague.
Yeah, and it's just,
it's my favorite.
It's just, yep, lower body, day-to-day. Cool. What does that mean? That tells me nothing. So I'm not really looking forward to that designation. I'm almost looking forward to just how does Lindy talk about it? How does the team talk about it? Because if they're talking about it in a way of like, yeah, you know, he's just out for today. You know, he'll be fine. Then it's like, okay. But if there's like this kind of weight in their voice a little bit, if you want to call it like a different type of feeling, then it's like, okay, well, the vibe does not feel good in terms of that. So we'll have to wait and see. I don't want to jump to any conclusions here, but it's, you know, it's just not great timing to have it happen, you know, 5 minutes into the first practice, especially too on the rush timetable of you're going to Europe in a week. And
I mean, didn't
preseason starts on Saturday?
And Sabres GM Kevin Adams, he spoke earlier today with the media before practice started, mm-hmm. and kind of even, you know, put an emphasis on that this is going to be kind of an accelerated bit. Paul, we talked to him yesterday. He said kind of the same thing. This is a weird training camp.
Well, and the way Adams put it was basically this is when the season starts. It's not the start of training camp. It's mm-hmm. the start of the season, because you have to have an accelerated tempo in terms of getting these guys ready to play games on Saturday and Sunday. And then also Tuesday, mm-hmm. you have three games in 4 days. So, along with a trip to Europe where you'll be playing an exhibition game against a team in Germany. And then the start of the regular season. So, it's all very boom, 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 quick. Like, it's yep. the first game is on October 4th, which is 2 weeks from Friday.
Yeah.
It's 16 days away.
It's incredibly, incredibly fast turnaround.
So you have to be ready.
That's the thing. So like any injury, though, is somewhat of a cause for concern.
Right.
Because it is not, I mean, we joke about it a lot. I mean, you've talked about it a lot off air as well. Just like the NFL NFL training camp preseason schedule takes forever.
Right. And then once you get there, it's finally, boom, there it is.
Yeah. And it's quote unquote takes forever. It's not the longest period of the offseason.
Feels like it, though.
It feels like it. And then the preseason games, you're like, oh my goodness, can we hurry this up?
Well, it's like
Sabres, you're like, what do you mean we have a preseason game tomorrow? Like, it's that feeling.
But it is, if you think about it, I mean, with football, it's like a month and a half of training camp and preseason. So it's not, I mean, hockey is 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, like, you know, there's different restrictions on practicing and things like that. Like, players can practice together and stuff. And obviously, they can in football, too, but it's a little just different. But, I mean, I feel like I saw videos all summer of, like, you know, Dylan Cousins and Owen Power skating together and things like that. But, and you have the prospects, obviously, too, where that's basically their version of mini camp and all that. But it's all so much closer together because you had the prospects challenge last week, and now you have training camp right now. And everything else going on as well. So it just feels faster because it's all closer together. In reality, it's about the same time span, but football's just more spread out.
Yeah.
It's hard because like this Dahlin news, it's not great. And if you're just tuning in, Rasmus Dahlin left practice 5 minutes into practice or around that and did not return or will not return. No other news on that yet in terms of why or what happened or whatever. But everything else from practice so far has looked intriguing. Devin Levi has a cool set of pads. I mean, I'm looking at a video right now of him making some saves in these like old school brown pads. That looks pretty sweet.
It's ugly. It's fine.
Stop. No. you don't appreciate old goaltending.
Does anybody?
I do. Those guys used to stand in front of it with no mask, barely any pads.
150 yards outside of the crease.
Exactly. So you're getting to the puck faster. The velocity is higher.
Getting to the puck faster.
Aside from that.
As 10 goals get passed in the second period.
Hey, listen. Anyway, there's also videos of all these players kind of adjusting to these Lindy Ruff practices. There's guys in the corner just like
laboring.
Yeah. Like, not because they got hit by Peyton Krebs, but because you're skating a lot. And there's videos of Lindy like pulling the team in and like, hey, you didn't do this right. Hey, you didn't do that right. And obviously you get that with every coach and every team. But last year, with the way that people were talking about practice and the way Casey Mittelstadt talked about practice after he left the team, it just feels like that part of it is different because you have more energy, you have more alertness. I don't know what the word would, or urgency. There's the word.
Yeah, urgency is probably a good way to put
it. I couldn't think of the word there. But yeah, you have the urgency there, and it just feels different in that way. Then you also have the new Jumbotron. Thing looks sweet.
Which, I guess.
It looks pretty cool. Like, they had, like, they were practicing, like, they were checking out, like, the, they're going to have on the corners, like, the time of the player on the ice, like, the shift times.
Yeah.
And, like, it's cool because it's, like, completely wrapped. So it's all one big screen. There's no breaks in it. And I don't know. I just like the way it looks. It looks cool. It's big and it's new. It's a fun new thing.
Again, it's going to be one of those things that eventually, when I go and they play the little pump up right before, I'm going to get goosebumps. I'm going to get a little emotional.
I'm really,
like I do look, every time.
Think about it. With the new screen, how it's all continuous, you could have like a wrap. You know how they have the buffalo?
Yep.
When the players come out, they have the buffaloes running across the screen. They could just run in a circle around that Jumbotron.
That would be so kind of cool.
That'd be kind of cool. Aside from that, though, that's not obviously the full reason to be excited about practice. The practice is here.
And already having so much fun.
Right.
So I had a little bit of fun, though, before we jumped on air. I am a nerd. Most people do know this. I am, of course, a jock, athlete, what have you. We talk in sports radio, obviously. But my second passion is nerdom. I'm a huge fantasy sci-fi guy, the whole thing. And that does mean I'm a massive A Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones fan, the author being George R. R. Martin. I've been feeling this way, Josh, for a while. And now finally was today the day that I'm like, we're going to run with this. I'm going to piece together as much as I can in terms of similarities between the Buffalo Sabres organization and A Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones creator, George R. R. Martin. I did not realize how alarmingly similar they were. So let's begin. And this is going to be real quick. It's more something to have fun, you know, bring some levity to what could be a long day for a lot of us, especially, you know, there was excitement for the season to start, and that could turn very quickly. Their first years, the Sabres, of course, is 1970. George R. R. Martin's first published work, that being The Hero, was a short story in 1971. Peak years, this is arguable. I'm already having this conversation with somebody on Twitter. For the Sabres, it is the late 90s, early 2000s. If you just go to the late 90s for the Buffalo Sabres, it is a number of conference finals, Stanley Cup finals, semifinals. They have a Hart Trophy winner twice in the goaltending position. That's the 90s.
The 90s only had one Stanley Cup final, the 99 final.
Yeah. Did I say multiple?
You said multiple, but it was only one.
Multiple conference
finals. But still.
A cup final.
Yeah.
A number of years. They were not being stood up in the playoffs in the 70s and 80s like they were for years, where they were losing in the preliminary round constantly. You also have two Hart Trophy wins with Dominic Hasek. You do have bad years, don't get me wrong, in the true early 2000s. And then you pop off in the 06-07 or 05-06, 06-07 to, for many fans, their favorite years. They came out of nowhere. They were lightning fast. They scored a lot and arguably should have won a Stanley Cup in there. They do win the President's Trophy, though, and of course do make a cup final or a conference final as well. For Martin, peak years, which is the A Song of Ice and Fire publishing, the late 90s and early 2000s. Three of the five books are published in a four-year run from 96 to 2000.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Then he also publishes in 05 and then 11. But that's also, I think, a big point of similarities between the two, which is a weird run in the early 2000s where they weren't doing anything. Sabres were missing the playoffs. They had fears of relocation.
They also lost Chris Drury and Danny Briere.
Yep. Where with Martin, he goes from 2000, he publishes A Storm of Swords, to 05, he publishes A Feast for Crows. He has to cut a main plot point that he had planned from the beginning in like the 80s when he was designing this, which was the five-year gap. There was supposed to be for those that watch the show and don't read the books, think of it after season four, there was supposed to be a five-year time jump that is completely cut. And then that's where we get the last two books that have been published, A Feast for Crows in 05, and Dance with Dragons in 2011. Notice the 2011 thing. Their last actual kind of signs of relevancy, 2011. Martin begins A Game of Thrones with HBO and also publishes A Dance with Dragons, his last main book in A Song of Ice and Fire. Do not give me Fire and Blood. That was co-written. It's not even that good. And that was years after, and it was mainly just due to his publishers being like, dude, we need to put something out while Game of Thrones is on the air. And then for the Sabres, it of course is their last playoff appearance, 2011. They are literally months apart. Martin publishes that in, I believe, the spring of 2011. The Sabres are early, or you know, late winter, early spring for their final playoff appearance.
Well, it would be spring.
It'd be spring. I think his was spring into summer, because I think Game of Thrones started in July. Then we have the first experiences of false hope. For the Sabres, of course, after 2011, it began the tank. They lose the draft lottery, but are getting American superstar Jack Eichel out of Boston. He is drafted in 2015. Martin's first missed deadlines for Winds of Winter, the book we are all still waiting for, 2016. They are step for step for step with each other, and it's making me uncomfortable.
I'm going to need a thesis on this from you.
I'm going to write one.
Write a paper.
I'm going to write one, I think. It's alarmingly similar how, again, they're not one for one, but they're steps with each other.
Like, it's very close.
Especially, I mean, there's been other signs of false hope. The 10-game win streak for the Sabres. Martin getting positive on his blog. Him saying he's written chapters during COVID. The Sabres, you know, almost making the playoffs 2 years ago.
Right, almost making the playoffs during the COVID bubble when they were one point out. Almost making the playoffs 2 years ago when they're 1 point out.
Yep.
Like,
even if we want to, this time last year, we were all really excited for the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
They're a high-flying team. They're young. They're fun. Let's go. This is big. Just a few months ago for Martin, new covers are being released for the first time since 2011 when he published the latest book. So everyone's getting excited. And nope, nothing. And then for here, it was kind of the same thing for the Sabres. A lot of excitement. And, they can't win two games in a row for like 6 months. They're the same thing. One is an inanimate object. It is a sports franchise. The other is a person, but they are the same thing. He was even born in the Northeast. I think he's from New Jersey. Give me one second. I gotta make sure of this. I think he was born in New Jersey. He was born in New Jersey.
Wow.
They're the same thing.
Look at that.
The same thing. The only difference is Martin was born in 48. Obviously, the Sabres were born in 1970.
Yeah.
But hockey itself was around in the 40s, so I'm counting it. Because I'm selfish. They're the same thing. False sense of security. Fans get very excited at the littlest... And I'm not. This is not a judgment. Again, I'm part of the Song of Ice and Fire fandom. Fans get super excited at a single, minuscule amount of excitement and hope. Whether that be Jeff Skinner's 40-goal season... J.J. Paterka, Jack Quinn, the prospects, Devin Levi, Tage Thompson emerging. It's all there, man. It is the same thing. And with that being said, I am not confident going into the season now.
I was trying so hard to find out if the Sabres founders, the Knox brothers, if they were also born in 1948. They were not. They were born in 1928.
I will say, though, one positive thing for Sabres fans. The Sabres, I believe, are actively trying to make the playoffs. Martin has not written a word since 2016. That I will die on that hill. He finished the book. It was bad. Scrapped it. Hasn't worked since. He has not written a word. Josh, he goes on his blog post. This is going to be a book that's about 1,300 pages long. War and Peace type size.
Whoa.
Okay? Get ready for this.
Whoa.
And when he says he's working on it, his latest blog post went, I'm working on pages and pages. Interesting. Pages and pages. George, it's going to be 1,300 pages long. The Sabres at least are like, look, we're signing people. We're making trades. We got a little close. We fired a coach. It's the same thing. But I'm not feeling good now. I'm not feeling good. Now that I've dove into this, and I'm going to do more of this once we're off the air as well. Now that I've dove into this, I'm not feeling as confident as I was going into this year of like, ooh, it's the year where no one really expects anything. Look at the Bills. The Bills this year is arguably kind of the same idea. you know, you had a year, you know, you had a good run. Now it's a year of transition. So what's this year going to be? Nah, you know, maybe they'll make the playoffs, but you don't really think they're going to be all that good. You know, well, they don't have a number one wide receiver. How are they going to keep up with some of the offenses in the NFL? Well, the early signs are no one's really passing the ball that much, and it's running the ball more, which has been the success in the NFL. And now the Bills are 2-0. They're taking on a bad Jaguars team and a Ravens team, which I said on the nightcap last night, if they don't beat Dallas, may already be looking at their season in the face going, well, this was fun, we're done.
Which would be really, really bad. So I mean, they went out and got Derrick Henry and were trying to...
For what that's worth.
Well, right. But it looked like you were trying to, you know, maybe
keep it
make
alive.
It, yeah, trying to keep it going. And it's just, for them, it's just, for the Ravens, if you lose to Dallas, it's just not working out. Because Dallas itself has problems.
But you're in Dallas. They just had a 16-game win streak. It was demolished by New Orleans. Don't get me wrong. But they are very good at playing at home for the most part. But, you know, that's going to be a big thing. But so, ultimately, the vibes for the Bills, I mean, and heck, going into Monday night, I mean, if they do beat Jacksonville, go to 3-0 alone, that will change a lot of, I think, of people's opinions on the Bills if you went in negative. Or if you went in kind of thinking this team is not going to be good, it'll be like, oh, well, now wait a second. They're 3-0. They're playing really well. They've scored 30-plus points in each of the last two games, or to the two games to start the year. You feel good. For the Sabres, I was kind of having the same thought of like, yeah, I went with him with a lot of expectations last year, and I only left disappointed. I mean, I've mentioned how, you know, the fun year, I went to like 9-10 games. Like anytime there was a Saturday game where I'm like, ooh, I'm not working, I want to go. I need to go because a lot of times it's tough for me to make it. I work the pregame here in during the weekdays. So basically any like weekend game at home I was trying to get to. Last year, very quickly, I was like, I'm out. This team is only making me sad and upset. I'm not doing this. And it kind of felt like it was going to be those moments where, you know, it's darkest before the dawn type deal where all of a sudden this year, and I joke, but like it wouldn't have surprised me that if they started the first 10 games or like 8-2, 8-2 or, you know, 7-3 or 3 and, you know, what have you. And just you're like, you're good to start and everything looks good and the analytics are liking you and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is still playing great and all this stuff. And it wouldn't have surprised me because it was just no expectations to, boom, they're exciting. But a potential Rasmus Dahlin injury update that is less than day-to-day. You know, we just want to monitor something. No need to push it. It's first day. He's in shape. It is going to be cause for concern. I think rightfully so. And especially in an organization that is in a 13-year playoff drought, and I think ultimately, Josh, has sort of positioned themselves into a point where, and we've talked back and forth about this, I think they've positioned themselves to a point of, did I think Adams botched the offseason two seasons ago? Yes, I do. That was a season where you could have struck the iron when it was hot. Team started to take you more seriously. You had more credibility. You know, Granato was an ascending coach. The team was an ascending group of young players, and they didn't. I'm not saying any other GM would have definitely done it. There's a lot of GMs, I think, in hockey, which is not both, it's not a compliment or, you know, or a diss, but it is what it is, that would have also tried to just stay the course. There are others, though, that would have gone after it, and I would have liked for Adams to go after it. He didn't. But then after a missed year in which you fired Granato, you had players talking about no accountability, what have you, I think you were putting then in back into the same position you were in. You're back into the corner of... Good free agents weren't going to sign with you. And good trade targets had you on their no-trade clause. And they weren't going to go to you anyways. Do I think they could have made maybe a move? Sure, Ehlers could have been some guy.
There was names out there.
But there was names.
It's tough because when we were talking about this before the show, like Adams comes in and is essentially working with almost nothing and inherits this bad situation with Jack Eichel, has to try to work his way through that without looking like, you know, just, oh, here's the new guy. Let's try to, you know, make the trade as lopsided as possible. Like, he had a lot to do in his first few months as GM. So, and I think all of that stuff worked out well, but it's just that middle point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, last year and even kind of the year before, it was just kind of this very delicate situation that there's some spots that were good, some spots that were not good, and... You know, hopefully this is a step in the right direction in towards the making good decisions and being smart about things. But it's so early on in this new thing of bringing Lindy back mm-hmm. and all the players they brought in this season, where it's, you know, shoring up that bottom six, which hasn't been there for years. I mean, for years it was Zemgus Girgensons, Kyle Okposo, and insert name here.
Yeah, vibes.
It was, that was your fourth line. It was those two and Vinny Hinostroza or Tyson Jost or Peyton Krebs. And granted, Krebs is still here, but now it looks like he's the 13th forward. And you just signed him to a deal, which still have questions about that. But hey, we'll see what happens there. But as long as, I mean, the philosophy of this management group for the past few years has been banking on the players improving and the young players improving.
This and building from
this
within.
This is such a young hockey team.
Still.
The oldest forward on the roster is Jason Zucker.
He's 28.
I think he's older than that. It used to be Alex Tuck, and Alex Tuck is 28.
32.
Okay, yeah. So he's the same age as Skinner, but obviously in a very different role. Zucker is one of those guys coming in just trying to, you know, maybe reestablish himself a little bit. He has had good years in the NHL. He's had moments where he's been a pivotal role on playoff teams in Minnesota, in Pittsburgh, and even at points in Nashville, he was, you know, kind of doing stuff for them. But I think that when you look at how young this team is, yes, there's still the, all right, well, we'll see what they develop into. We'll see what Paterka does this year. We'll see if Quinn can come back from injury. We'll see what Benson does in his second year after a great rookie season.
Yeah.
But that's what you were hoping for last year. That's what you were hoping for with Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins and Paterka. And Paterka had a great year, don't get me wrong. But he needs to have a better one now. He's replacing Jeff Skinner.
Even Jack Quinn, you want to see have a better year. That's mainly due to injuries.
Right. Yeah. Well,
when he was on the ice, he was
with
awesome.
With Quinn, it's a different story just because you have to kind of ease him back in and hope he doesn't get hurt again. Then if that happens, you have a little bit more of a problem on your hands of an injury-prone player that has good potential but just can't stay healthy. But with a guy like Paterka, he had such a good season last year, but like I said, now he's replacing Jeff Skinner, who, even though the Sabres traded, had a good year last year. Sure, Skinner's time with the Sabres was up and down in terms of production.
Yep.
But overall, he was a very reliable goal scorer and a reliable point getter. And that's what Paterka needs to become now for this team. Tage needs to return to what the 40-goal season, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he needs. And same with Tuck. Tuck that season with Tage was incredibly good. But those types of players need to start following through with this. And if they wanted that accountability that hopefully Lindy Ruff will bring, then you can expect that. But as Kevin Adams said this morning, if they want accountability, they're going to get it, and they need to back it up.
Early reports now on practice, too, have been, I mean, he was really harping on going offside in practice.
Yeah. Which
stop,
a lot of
stop drills to bring everyone together.
Yeah, and a lot of reporters are like, you know, a lot of the guys that are there and are saying, you know, hey, that's something that we haven't seen in a few years.
I get nervous on hearing that because I heard somewhat similar about Granato. Not on that issue, but it was other things of, you know, haven't seen this in a long time once Granato took over. So I
yeah, well, that's fair, but
the results need to be on the ice.
Right, exactly. You know? It's not that I don't care what goes on in practice, but if it follows through to games, then sure. Whatever they're doing in practice works.
Yep, keep doing it. 803-0550 is the number to call. How are we feeling about the start of the Sabres season? We will hear from Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff with the media coming up later this hour. He's expected to speak around 10:45, could be closer to 11. But after a quick timeout, we will hear from Sal Capaccio, as the Bills do have a game to not play this week, as the weekdays do technically start on Sunday. They play on Monday night hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars, but they will practice today, so we'll get a word from Sal here after a quick timeout. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.